Just before I sat down to write my reflections on today's text from John's Gospel, I was watching the television news. Several items seem to typify what's going on at the moment, and that involves taking sides. What matters to you? Who do you believe? Well, the biggest and most obvious talking point in this country at the moment is Brexit. Who to trust to get the best deal? And at this very moment, the Prime Minister is involved in intense negotiations with the other European leaders. It's a complex balancing act, with vested interests all over the place, those of national identity, of political viewpoint, and of course, personal political careers all at play. And there are plenty of other people who think that they can do a great deal better, some of whom have manoeuvred in the background to have Theresa May removed from power. Others are really quite open about their thoughts. And that's the crux of it. Who gets to wield power? We see this too in the reignition of the rather tense situation over the sovereignty of Gibraltar. It's Britain versus Spain all over again, and how many hundreds of years has that one been running? And then there is Matthew Hedges. Remember him? Last week, jailed in the United Arab Emirates after being found guilty in a trial that lasted less than 5 minutes of spying for Britain. Who decides the truth? Then many of us who use computers or smartphones spent Friday being absolutely bombarded with tempting offers to spend, spend, and spend on the latest bargain offers. Or were they genuine bargains? I wonder. Who to believe? One item on the television news commented that Friday was also the International Buy Nothing Day. Apparently it was constituted short that not too many years ago in a reaction to consumerism. Well, what to do? Who gets to wield power? Who decides the truth? Who to believe? What to do? Well, if you follow the news, I'm sure that you will all have come to your own answers to all of those questions and reached your own conclusions. When we turn to today's Bible passage from John's Gospel, we're faced with a similar challenge of having to make up our own minds about the true identity of Jesus, just as we read about Pilate having to do the same. The scene is one of the tense drama. Jesus has been arrested at night and questioned by the religious authorities, who really don't get very far at all in their attempt to get Jesus to incriminate himself. So early next morning, off they march to the governor's palace. And the tension steps up, as Jesus is now taken to the representative of Roman imperial power, none other than Pilate. There's an interesting little twist at this part in the story. For the Jewish leaders refused to go into the palace because they didn't want to make themselves ritually unclean before the Passover. You know that one, the Passover festival? The one where they celebrate when God, who's the real king, enabled the Israelites to escape Pharaoh's clutches. You know, the powerful one with the army and, yeah, there's an odd dissonance going on there, isn't there? But the point at which we enter the narrative is when Jesus is taken into the palace to meet Pilate face to face. The two men live with utterly different worldviews. Pontius Pilate, who is a skilled, ruthless operator. Well, you had to be to progress in Roman politics. Philo describes a little of his character, and I quote, "A man of very inflexible disposition and very merciless as well as obstinate." There we are. You get the picture. This is a man who took power and kept control through an army. Control by violence and political maneuvering. That was his world. That is how he understood kingship. And that is probably why Pilate wanted to know if Jesus was claiming to be the king of the Jews. Was this man before him a threat? To get a sense of what Jesus said in response to Pilate's questions, "Are you the king of the Jews?" we need to look at several translations of what Jesus said in reply. So in the Good News Bible that we've just heard, Jesus says, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." The New International Version, "My kingdom is not of this world." Well, those first two could be understood as making Jesus sound rather otherworldly, when actually, quite literally, he had his feet on the ground. Personally, I rather like the way that Eugene Peterson phrases the words of Jesus in his paraphrased translation of the Bible, The Message. What Peterson phrases Jesus' words. "My kingdom," Jesus said, "doesn't consist of what you see around you." See? Different feel. For Jesus' world does not rely on palace pomp, wealth, and power wielded at the point of a sword. But Pilate, working within his frame of reference of rhetorical debate, seized on what sounded like Jesus implying he was a king. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." Well, back to the frame of reference, that has kingship as a title and position to be assumed or claimed. It's just like any other dictator. And again, there's another little sense of irony going on here in that Pilate actually gives Jesus his real title. But this was the exact opposite to the kingship of Jesus. I think Pilate began to realize this when he said later on, "I cannot find any reason to condemn him." Let's return to the record of what Jesus said in verse 37. "I was born and came into the world for this one purpose, to speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me." Pilate replies as a true politician would, and he says, "And what is the truth?" In all other kingdoms, it is those in power who decide what the truth is. For truth in the hands of so many is a malleable concept. But we read that statement of Jesus as observers of this scene of high drama. And as we read on or we listen to the Bible being read to us, we are left to choose sides. We are left pondering those questions. What is the truth? What is the kingdom of Jesus? Well, so many in our world really just couldn't care less, as they don't even bother with such questions. They don't even try to read the words of Jesus. Well, it's certainly a great deal easier not to, because at this point, if you read and spend any time with this text, then it begins to read you. Which kingdom do you look to? Who leads your life? Well, there is, of course, a very easy sort of holy answer, and it's especially easy to come out with it at the Feast of Christ the King. But hang on for just a minute or two. Read again what Jesus said. I was born and came into the world for this one purpose, to speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth and listens to me. Who do we really listen to? It's a very, very big choice to make. And you need to make it for yourself. Because recognizing the kingship of Jesus is not something that we're ever told to do. And I'm so glad in the here and now, all of us have this opportunity to think it through and to draw our own conclusions and decide for ourselves who we are committed to. Do you choose to listen to the truth spoken by Jesus? If you do, it will have a huge impact on your life. And given all of those voices clamoring to take their place of ruling your behavior and choices, following Jesus and saying yes to his truth, to the values of God's kingdom, may actually be pretty tough going. It was difficult and dangerous then. It was difficult and dangerous when John's Gospel was written. It's difficult and dangerous for many Christians around today, especially those in Syria and Egypt, northern Nigeria and Pakistan. For in those countries, this very day, Christians are putting their lives on the line, putting their lives in danger by choosing to follow the truth of Christ. But as Susan Hyland comments and on the passage we're considering, Jesus' kingship, and I quote, is manifest in crucifixion rather than political dominance. Personally, I'd add that the kingship of Jesus is also manifest in resurrection. Who do you choose to follow? Do you give your allegiance to someone who claims the title of king, or maybe gets elected to power and then goes around issuing orders? Or will you follow Jesus? Jesus, who comes alongside you and asks, "Will you come and follow me?" How you choose to answer, who you choose to follow, will affect your entire life. Amen.